there's still plenty of opportunity to innovate. I mean, there are really a lot of challenges still that need to be addressed.
Hey, smart biotech scientists, how are you? We are in the middle of an exciting conversation with Tom Fletcher, who is the R&D Director of Process Development at Fujifilm Irvine Scientific. And we are talking about rational media development. And as we've talked about that in the first part, we are both big advocates of rational media design. And if you have listened to this part yet, go back to part one, tune in there and understand why rational media development is great and why you could potentially use it too in your process development. Now in part two, we're gonna get very practical and we're gonna look at how you can get started right now, even if you're working in a smaller company with less resources. So be prepared for some value bombs, and we're gonna tune right in part number two of our discussion. Are you juggling the complexities of CMC development while trying to enjoy the beauty of biotech? Have you ever wondered if there's a way to simplify bioprocessing? Welcome to the Smart Biotech Scientist podcast, where we're diving headfirst into the very challenges you face. We're breaking it down, demystifying the jargon, and giving you the keys to unlock your full potential. I'm your host, David Brohlman, and I get it. With 15 plus years in the biotech industry, I face the same challenges you do. There's a way to simplify and streamline so you can remove complexity, you can skip trials and errors, deliver without delay your groundbreaking therapy to clinics and market, and still enjoy every single step. Do you want to learn how industry experts and I did it? Grab a cup of coffee and your favorite notebook and pen. Now is the time to take your bioprocessing game to the next level. Let's smarten up biotech. Speaking of the scientists, let's make this now very practical in the second part of our conversation. Let's look into how we can initiate rational media development. How can we do that? Are there some simple steps someone, especially I think about someone working in a smaller organization, how could that person start with rational media design?
I think there are some simple steps, and I've kind of thought them through because I knew we'd be talking about this. So I really think that you begin with carefully defining what your goals are. So that, surprisingly, I guess it sometimes gets skipped over because maybe everybody assumes, of course, we just want a better process. We want more performance. We want better cell growth, all of these things. I think to stop and think about in the particular process that we're trying to develop, what really are the needs? What are the goals that we have? And usually we divide those in two main categories. It might be improving the growth or improving the production of the process. I'm sure there's some overlap. It might be both of those, but even when we use those words, though, I like to really think, when you say growth, do you mean faster growth, like better doubling time? Do you mean a higher maximum viable cell density? Or is it really the integral of viable cells? Because oftentimes that's more important than, you know, what the maximum density is. Maybe it's something more about the higher viability. Maybe that's what it is with cell therapies. I think that's probably more important than the cell density. Because perfusion has been a popular topic lately, what might surprise some people is you might actually want slower cell growth. Like the cell division is something that creates kind of a waste stream in a steady state perfusion process. So companies like BI, they've actually found ways to inhibit the cell cycle so that you have slower growth and you can reduce the amount of bleeding that's required to maintain a steady state in perfusion. So again, listening carefully to or paying attention, I think, to what are the goals of the media development are very important. So that was growth. I can do the same thing with production. Is it about higher titer, maybe overall space-time yield in grams per liter per day, or maybe it's specific productivity? Again, if it's a steady-state perfusion, you probably want to focus more on cell-specific productivity than anything else. So thinking through what we mean when we say improving the performance of the process. And as you know, because again, you're a rational media design was focused more on product quality. So that's something where, not to be underestimated as a goal, that's something that really needs to be paid attention to and included in this discussion of what am I trying to achieve by adjusting the media. Is it something related to glycosylation, charge variance, the potency of my molecule, host cell proteins? All of these things can be impacted by culture media. The kind of the first reaction of a scientist is, oh, I'll look at my DNA, I'll look at the gene construct in order to address these things. But you can modify your cell line development to some extent, but this culture media should not be ignored as an important factor for all of these outputs. And I think it's important to think it through. And the very first step, I'm still on the first step, by the way, is just to define what the goals are of a media development project. There are some more steps if I'll just go on here. So once you define those goals, I think you should develop some hypotheses, you know, like what's potentially a limiting factor towards achieving this goal. And so think through perhaps the biochemical pathways, think through where there might be potential bottlenecks, just generate some ideas of what you could test. And I think that's an important role. You don't want to just move so fast that you don't stop and think about potential solutions to your problem. Once you've done that, I think the next step would be make sure I've got some screening methods or testing methods that are relevant so that the endpoints I'm measuring are relevant to answering my question. Again, I'm surprised when people just take an existing assay and say, well, even though it's not that relevant, it's a standard practice, and so I'm just going to use this method for testing. Well, you're probably not going to be very good at finding the answer if you're not using a relevant method. And then obviously there are some statistical tools like design of experiments or multivariate analysis. And by the way, those two methods are quite different. So with DOE, I have an opportunity to design a prospective study before I do the experiment that can help me understand what I'm looking for. The multivariate analysis is really just a retrospective tool. Now, again, you can use both because you want to be able to look forwards and then after the experiment, kind of look back for clues, maybe what are the main factors. So multivariate analysis can be very useful for that. And then finally, I guess, using some of the recent systems biology tools like all the different omics, genomics, proteomics, metabolomics, I think these are part of rational methods because now not just choosing all of the tools, but selectively choosing the ones that are relevant to that problem or that question you're trying to answer. I think that's what it means to use rational methods. So that was just kind of a quick summary. I know I'm kind of talking fast, but I just wanted to get a lot in there because it really means, you know, kind of a heads up, eyes open, applying the latest technologies to a focused project where I'm really trying to address a specific issue.
Yeah, smart scientists, rational media design has great potential. And it's not only in the genetics or the finding the right cell line. It's really also about changing the environment. And I found also in my career that just by changing some media components, you can boost productivity. You can slow down, for instance, cell growth, as you said, in perfusion, or you can change the quality attributes. So use that toolbox. It's an amazing toolbox.
Absolutely. Yep.
Now, once we have developed our media and we're happy with it, well, that's not the end of the story. We have to move it into the manufacturing facility. That's a whole other challenge. Tom, tell us a bit, what are these challenges once we go into large-scale media preparation and use, and how can we overcome those?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the practical issues can become the most important issues very quickly. During scale-up, people might realize, oh, wait a minute, there's some concerns about this formula and this particular medium. And so I mentioned previously some potential interactions, precipitations, you know, solubility issues. But beyond that, the media preparation process is generally speaking quite a messy process. So it's typically like isolated in a separate room from the other unit operations because the powder media can be very dusty. And it's not just the particulates that are concerned because those dust particles are actually nutrients. And that makes them particularly undesirable because they can grow undesirable microbes. So now you're starting to grow whatever kind of undesirable organisms in your nice, clean pharmaceutical facility. And so you can see why the messy part of it is a concern. There are a number of ways to minimize that or to address that. But also just the idea that your facility has to have this separate room. I mean, that's an expensive part of planning, especially when you realize that that operation is not really adding value to your drug substance. It's kind of a necessary operation, but it's kind of a drain on your resources. You have your highly trained technicians, you hired them to make drug substance, and now you have them spending so much time making media and buffers and things like that. So I can see from a cost point of view, that's kind of an undesirable thing. And then to add to that, this amount of time and this interaction from humans, it actually creates a source of variation, a significant source. If they're not conducting these media procedures consistently, if you have somebody doing adjustments of pH, adjustments of osmolality, one particular thing that I react to is the idea that somebody's going to QS the volume in a large tank. You know, I think that's a little bit silly. If we have chemically defined formulas, the amount of water should be the same every time. And I mean, you know, on a milliliter per liter basis, that we should treat the water just like we treat all the other components of cell culture media. There's an exact amount of water that goes in every time. These are some of the remaining issues when things are scaled up. I feel it should be a very consistent method. It should be a closed method. And so I'm kind of enthused on the subject because we've been developing some improvements in that particular area. So I think we'll have a chance to talk about that maybe next. But there's definitely still some needs when it comes to scale up and delivering a consistent, ready-to-use liquid media.
Yeah, speaking of making it simple and more streamlined and reduce the variation, one thing people can use is automation, right? And can you explain a bit how that could make this operation easier and better?
Yeah, exactly. So that relates to what I just alluded to. So we've been working on an automated method. So it's a single-use system and it's a closed system. So we can deliver a cartridge with pre-measured amount of powder in it. And then thanks to the automated closed system, it can basically hydrate the powder and actually deliver it through a sterile filter. So what you collect is a sterile, ready-to-use liquid cell culture media. I know it sounds a little bit like magic. I mean, that's what we've been working on here for a while, and it hasn't been officially launched yet, but it's something we're very excited about because we're able to do this without any adjustments or human intervention, if you will. And again, I like to clarify, I don't have anything against humans. It's just that's an opportunity for variation and errors to occur. So we've really found a way to improve, I think, significantly this liquid media preparation process. Quite excited about it.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's so important to make operations easier, more streamlined, and especially more consistent. So, Tom, as we are wrapping up our amazing conversation, thank you for dropping so many value bombs, so much great insight. What is the biggest takeaway you want us to walk away from our conversation today?
I don't have one big message other than, you know, I hope I've inspired some scientists to realize there's still plenty of opportunity to innovate. I mean, there are really a lot of challenges still that need to be addressed. And not only that, I think there's still a lot of cause and effect relationships to be discovered. So that's just kind of pure science. I think I'm personally motivated by curiosity, a desire to learn more about these cause-effect relationships. I've been in kind of debates on this subject where I'm disappointed that some people have kind of given up and saying, oh, no, it's just too complex. We just have to use high throughput methods. And, you know, it's a waste of time to think in these rational methods or these systems biology solutions. I really think that there is a future for these rational methods just based solely on the fact that I admit the process is complex, but it's finite. It's finite, and we've got very powerful computational tools that can be applied. So I still really have a hope that we're making progress on understanding these processes, being able to predict things, thanks to some in silico tools. And so I think that's inspiring to me. I hope it inspires the rest of the audience here that There's still a scientific future. There's still plenty of opportunity for improvement. Again, I hope that alone motivates the audience to continue pressing on towards this understanding and improving of the bioprocess in general.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tom, for sharing that, for making a case for rational media design. Where can people connect with you, Tom?
Well, I guess the best place would be through my email address. So that would be simply tom.fletcher@fujifilm.com.
Great. I'm going to leave that in the show notes. So if you want to reach out to Tom, please do so. And thank you once again, Tom, for being on the show today.
My pleasure, David. Thank you for inviting me.
All right, smart scientists. That's all for today on the Smart Biotech Scientist podcast. Thank you for tuning in and joining us on your journey to bioprocess mastery. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. By doing so, we can empower more scientists like you. For additional bioprocessing tips, visit us at smartbiotechscientist.com. Stay tuned for more inspiring biotech insights in our next episode. Until then, let's continue to smarten up biotech.